This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our bulletin of church news, which will be followed by our feature, The Family. I am John Baptist Tumosime. The Holy See Press Office issued a brief update on Pope Francis's health on Sunday morning, underlining that the Holy Father had had a peaceful night and was resting. The update follows another one on Saturday evening, which said the Pope's medical condition remained stable. He did not have a fever and showed no signs of infection. He received the Eucharist and also spent time in prayer. Pope Francis was admitted to Gemelli Catholic Hospital in Rome on February 14th for bronchitis. He has suffered bouts of respiratory crisis, which the doctors have gradually put under control. Meanwhile, on Saturday evening, hundreds of the faithful gathered at St. Peter's Square here in the Vatican to pray the rosary for the recovery of Pope Francis. The prayer service was led by Cardinal Claudio Guggerotti, the prefect of the Dicastery for the Eastern Churches. In another development, the Holy See distributed on Sunday Pope Francis's reflection for this Sunday's Angelus in written form because the Holy Father could not deliver it in person due to his current health situation. The reflection was based on Sunday's gospel passage taken from Luke, chapter 6, verses 39-45, in which Jesus indicates to his disciples that following him requires a strong commitment. The Pope noted in the reflection that in the gospel passage, Jesus makes us reflect on two of the five senses, that is the sense of sight and the sense of taste. With regard to sight, Christ asks us to train our eyes to observe the world well and to judge our neighbor with charity. He says, remove the wooden beam from your eye first, then you will see clearly to remove the splinter in your brother's eye. Only with this gaze of care, not condemnation, the Pope adds, can fraternal correction be a virtue. With regard to taste, the Holy Father says Jesus reminds his followers that every tree is known by its own fruit. Rotten fruits are violent, false, vulgar words. Good ones are the just and honest ones that give flavor to dialogue. Pope Francis invited the faithful to reflect on how they look at other people and how they feel with regard to how others look at them. Do my words have a good flavor, or are they imbued with bitterness and vanity, he asked. The Pope concluded his reflection reminding the faithful that he is still admitted at a hospital where he is being accompanied by doctors and health care professionals whom he thanked for taking care of him. He thanked the faithful for their prayers and assured them that he feels their affection and closeness. He said he felt in his heart the blessing that is hidden within fragility, because it is precisely in these moments that we learn even more to trust in the Lord. He assured the faithful that he was praying for them and invited them to join him to pray for peace in the world, especially in the troubled parts of our planet, for example in Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, Lebanon, Myanmar, Sudan, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. The Department for Promoting Integral Human Development at the Association of Member Episcopal Conferences in Eastern Africa, AMESEA, reported a few days ago that it had completed the civic education and observer mission manual, whose objective is to guide church leaders and institutions who will be involved with the electoral process and transition in South Sudan. The document has been handed over to the South Sudan Election Ecumenical Network, which will provide a framework for cooperation among church organizations. The document aims to help church leaders to understand their role in shaping South Sudan's future. Presidential and other elections in South Sudan were scheduled to take place in December last year, but were postponed for 2 years by the transitional government on grounds that key issues related to the polls had not been resolved. And these included the writing and the promulgation of a new constitution and holding a national census to determine the size of the population and the number of eligible voters. The Apostolic Nuncio to Uganda, Archbishop Luigi Bianco, presided over Holy Mass at the headquarters of Fort Portal Catholic Diocese in the west of the country on Sunday to open and rededicate the diocesan cathedral known as Our Lady of Snows Virica. The cathedral has been closed for many months after parts of it suffered damages that would have put the lives of the faithful in danger. The liturgy was attended by thousands of the faithful, who included bishops, lay people, the clergy, and the religious. In his homily, Archbishop Bianco emphasized the importance of a cathedral in a diocese.
The cathedral is the church of the bishop, mother of all the churches of the diocese. For this reason, the cathedral has a special significance in every local church in which the Church of Christ, one holy Catholic and apostolic church, is present and lives to continue to spread the gospel of salvation for all the people. This cathedral is dedicated to the Virgin Mary. God was pleased to choose Blessed Mary as the virginal temple where the eternal Word of God dwelt and became flesh. As Mary, our spirit rejoices today in the Lord our Savior.
Concluding his homily, Archbishop Bianco invited the faithful to pray for Pope Francis.
In this celebration, we pray a special way for Pope Francis, for his health and his recovery, and in this way to continue his ministry as Bishop of Rome and the universal shepherd of the Church.
Archbishop Luigi Bianco, the Apostolic Nuncio to Uganda, speaking there on Sunday during the opening and rededication of the Cathedral of Fort Portal Diocese. The United Nations Security Council has expressed deep concern over the announcement a few days ago by the rebel Sudanese paramilitary rapid support forces that it plans to establish a parallel government in parts of the country under its control. The political and armed wings of the rapid support forces signed a charter in Kenya last week, establishing a governing authority which would evolve into a government. Rebels control much of Western Sudan, including the Darfur region, where they have been accused of committing gross violations of human rights. African members at the United Nations Security Council warned that the act of creating a parallel government would fragment Sudan, deepen the civil war, aggravate the violation of human rights, and undermine efforts for peace and dialogue. One of those who voiced concern was Ambassador Francisco José da Cruz, the permanent representative of the Republic of Angola to the United Nations.
Angola expresses deep concern with the continued escalation of the conflict in Sudan. While the root cause of this conflict is reportedly linked to the internal ethnic tensions, it has been exacerbated by a few external factors, including geopolitical disputes and other unspoken interests, making it more difficult and challenging to engage in an inclusive inter-Sudanese process to end the war. The increased intensity of the ongoing fighting has further deepened divisions, undermined efforts for a peaceful settlement of the conflict, and heightened peace and stability risks in the region. All parties to the conflict must recommit and engage in an authentic search for peace based on a genuine interest of the people of Sudan.
Ambassador Francisco José da Cruz, Angola's permanent representative to the United Nations, speaking there at the UN Security Council at the weekend on the crisis in Sudan. And lastly, reports from Haiti say violence continues in different parts of the country as armed gangs attack residential areas, markets and schools, and shoot and kill people. Many school premises have been attacked, forcing teachers and parents to suspend classes. Kenya sent hundreds of police officers to the country last year, but they have been overwhelmed by the magnitude of lawlessness. Francesca Mello reports.
As violence continues to escalate in Haiti, schools, previously sanctuaries where children could thrive under the protection of education, are being reduced to rubble. Now their future is uncertain. In January alone, armed groups completely destroyed 47 schools in the capital, Port-au-Prince. In 2024, 284 schools were targeted, leaving hundreds of thousands of children with no place to learn. Haiti has been facing hardship for many years, but the crisis deepened following the assassination of President Jovenel Moïse in July 2021. Armed groups now control large parts of the country, and schools, healthcare facilities and other critical infrastructure have been targeted, worsening the suffering of the population. According to UNICEF, one in seven children in Haiti is now out of school, with nearly a million more at risk of dropping out. The consequences are dire, as last year saw a 70% increase in the recruitment of children into armed groups. The majority of these groups are nearly half composed of children, some as young as 8 years old. Haitian parents often sacrifice a significant portion of their income to ensure their children receive an education. However, many now face unprecedented economic hardship, and those who can still afford to send their children to school are finding there are none left to attend. UNICEF, along with other partners, is working to rehabilitate damaged schools, create temporary learning spaces, and reintegrate displaced children into education. Mental health and psychosocial support services are also being offered to help children and families cope with the trauma they have endured. However, humanitarian efforts remain underfunded, and more support is urgently needed to reach the peace and stability Haiti so desperately needs and deserves. The call is for children to not become the forgotten victims of this crisis. The hope remains that these children will be given the chance to learn, to dream, and to build a better future. I am Francesca Merlo.
You are tuned to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio.
And now our feature, family. Church in Africa as a family of God. Its people, challenges, values, and hopes.
My name is Father Paul Samasumo with your program, Family. Today on Family, we have the Kenyan journalist and former president of the Union of the African Catholic Press, UCAP, Mr. George Sungu. Over the last 3 years, Mr. Sungu has represented Africa as a member of the Vatican's Commission for Communication of the Synod of Bishops. He has been a key figure regarding the synod on synodality at the SECAM level. We want to explore with Mr. Sungu the question, what next for Synod on Synodality in a Jubilee year? Mr. Sungu, you are most welcome.
Thank you, Father Paul, and thank you for having me.
Perhaps let me start with what might be an obvious question. The theme of the Jubilee is Pilgrims of Hope. Now, for the Church in Africa, how can this inspire our collective journey, which was a journey called for during the Synod on Synodality?
The theme Pilgrims of Hope for the 2025 Jubilee year is very appropriate for the Church in Africa, especially now that the entire continent is faced with lots of challenges. The theme can inspire the Church in Africa to embrace hope, mercy, and fraternity in our collective journey. As today, we have war in several countries. Sudan, two military factions have been locked in a deadly power struggle since October 2021. This followed a military takeover that seized power from Sudan's civilian-led transitional government. According to media reports, at January this year, over 150,000 people had been killed and more than 11 million others forced from their homes. It is simply catastrophic. In the DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo, the same is happening. Many people have been killed and many families have been internally displaced by conflict. In West Africa, Mali and Burkina Faso, the same people are fighting there. Somalia in Eastern Africa is experiencing similar civil strife. The continent is still yet to recover fully from the deadly COVID-19 pandemic. Ebola that hit parts of West Africa, the Marburg virus, which is currently being witnessed in Central Africa, and others that collectively have wiped out hundreds of thousands in Africa. Don't forget the ongoing climate change effects, such as severe droughts, increased flooding, erratic rainfall patterns, crop failures, food insecurity, rising sea level that impact coastal communities, and economic instability. We live in real troubled times, Father Paul. It is at such a time that the church is called upon to play its key role of being a beacon of hope in our continent. So the Pilgrims of Hope theme, I believe, is playing a key role in inspiring our collective journey of working together as advocated for by the Synod on Synodality. As the Bible tells us in the book of Amos, two people can only walk together when in agreement, and where people agree, there's no conflict, certainly, and there won't be war.
As you have been reflecting on the past 3 years on the Synod of Synodality discussions, what key insights or surprises that you find came out or emerged during these past 3 years that you think the Church in Africa should embrace moving forward?
Perhaps the key insight I can talk of is the declaration by the Synod that the Catholic Church belongs to all. Synodality is offering the Church, not only in Africa, tools to reshape and refine itself into becoming a synodal church. Many Baptist Catholics are no longer in the church for various reasons. During my recent visit to Rome as a pilgrim, I had an opportunity to interview Cardinal Mario Grech, the Secretary General of the Synod of Bishops in the Vatican, and I asked him what key changes will synodality bring to the church in general. He told me that it has to bring a church that has space for all, a church that can listen to all. We need to open our hearts and listen not to individual opinions, but what the Holy Spirit is trying to communicate to us through these individuals. The cardinal said that this sort of listening process has a liturgical aspect. We need to listen to understand what is God's will through prayers, listening, meditation, everything will fall into place. Over and above, nobody should feel unwelcome in the Catholic Church, more so in a synodal church, because it is for the family of God. The cardinal told me, in our family, we all need to be together, loved and accepted. While inside the church, it is our duty to evangelize to those with wayward behavior or characteristics to help them change their ways and conform with the teachings of the Catholic Church. Ours is a church that actively encourages participation from all members of the community, where everyone is invited to listen, dialogue, and contribute to the decision-making process, essentially working together. The synodal church guided by the Holy Spirit. In my view, this is what the church in Africa should embrace and move forward with.
How do you think the experiences and the voices of the African church during the synod, how can these shape or impact the broader church, the universal church?
SECAM, at the Symposium of Episcopal Conference of Africa and Madagascar, the Association of Bishops in Africa played a very good role in synodal discussions leading to the meeting that we had in March 1st to 6th in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, where we put together the continental document which was sent to the Synod Assembly for further discussions. Second bishops recently met at their secretariat in Accra, Ghana, where they discussed ways and means of implementing the synodal document. The meeting emphasized the importance of fostering greater participation and dialogue within African Catholic communities, particularly by listening to the voices of the laity, women, and youth in the continent. I may not have examples of these dioceses or parishes that have made any tangible implementation from the document's recommendations that I can share with you, Father Paul. But I am aware the bishops addressed specific African concerns like polygamy, social injustices, issues within the local context. And all this will soon start seeing what our dioceses are doing going forward, because the document is still hot on the ground. So we better give them time and see how they're going to help implement this, because there's no two way about it. The church is going to be synodal, and we have to be in tandem with the universal church.
The role of women and their position in the church is something that has gained currency over the last few years. From your position during the synod discussion, what do you think are some of the steps that the church has undertaken, could undertake, to ensure the full participation of women in a synodal church?
The question of the position of women in the church has been a very, very critical question all across the continent. People have been asking that women are in the forefront in our church, but they do not go beyond a certain level when it reaches to church leadership. Well, this is one of the divisive topics being handled by one of the 10 member groups that was appointed by Pope Francis. And let's wait and hear their report and their findings when they give their report in June this year.
Mr. Sungu, in light of the sometimes divisive topics that emerged or the discussions during the synod, what do you think should be done to bridge the gap between those different viewpoints and the various regions, the groups within the church?
After the Synodal Assembly last year, the Pope had appointed 10 study groups to provide in-depth study on the divisive topics or the hot-button topics to help bridge gaps between different viewpoints. Some of these topics include ordination of women, the church's approach to LGBTQ individuals, the possibility of optional priestly celibacy, polygamy, the selection of bishops, the relationship between the Eastern Catholic churches and the Latin churches, and the level of participation of lay people in decision-making within the church. The study groups are expected to explore the theological, pastoral, and canonical aspects of these perceived hot-button topics at the Synodal Assembly. They are expected to come up with their findings by June this year.
Mr. Sungu, turning back once more to the Jubilee year that we are in, how can this year be a year for spiritual renewal within the church that encourages more profound commitment to synodality among the clergy and lay people alike?
In the Old Testament, the year of Jubilee signifies renewal. It is intended to ensure that people live in ways that reflect good relationship with God, with each other, and with creation. And this is exactly what Synod on Synodality is all about. It facilitates spiritual renewal. And the Holy Father has given us an opportunity to amend our ways during this year of Jubilee so that we can get into spiritual renewal with the church. Both lay people and the clergy can live in harmony with our Creator, our brethren, and in harmony with the Mother Earth.
Mr. Sungu, thank you very much for your time. Kenyan Catholic journalist, Mr. George Sungu, on Family.
You have been listening to Family with Father Paul Samasumo.
Hello, dear listeners. This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio, the Pope's Radio. We want to start by thanking you for being such an important part of our radio family. We would love to hear from you. Is there something you like us to feature more? Share your thoughts and let us know how we are reaching you, whether on shortwave radio, on FM, digital radio, or through our daily podcast. Also tell us from where you are listening and from which of the local radio stations that are rebroadcasting our program. You can text or WhatsApp us at +39 331 759 3275 or email us at inglese.africa@spc.va. That is INGLESE for Inglese. If you miss out on our radio broadcast, you can download the podcast within an hour after it goes on air at 16:30 GMT between the months of October and March, and at 17:30 GMT between April and October. Just go to www.vaticannews.va/en. You will see the podcast symbol on the top right-hand side of the website. Click on it and then choose English for Africa. You can also download our Vatican News app from the App Store or from Google Play Store to listen to the live broadcast, which is also available from our website. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.